great to have your company wherever you're listening. Sam Ebenezi, a chief reporter, about to join me. Take a few of your calls on. What did you think of Alex Witherden? Said a lot of stuff. What did you think of his idea that the higher team on the ladder, if all the finals are going to be played in Queensland, then the higher team on the ladder, the team with the highest home and away ladder finish, gets to pick the venue that they'd like to play their final at, whether it's the Gabba or Metricon? Because Alex was saying that he thinks there are teams who like one over the other. They've been hubbing in Queensland now. They've got to know those grounds well. What are your thoughts? 1-300-736-736. The higher on the ladder team gets to pick its venue in Queensland. The grand final probably going to be at the Gabba, but we don't know where the elimination finals or the preliminary finals, qualifying finals are going to be. Not a bad idea. He's a very well-spoken young guy, and we'll play a little bit of what he had to say later in the program when Terry Wallace joins us for an extended chat. But Sam Edmund, SEN Chief Reporter, has been good enough to join us. Welcome to you, Sam.
Dwayne, good to be with you. How's things?
I'm pretty damn good. What's been tickling your fancy in the last couple of hours?
Well, I wouldn't say it tickled my fancy, but it certainly got my attention, Dwayne. It was a tweet earlier on today from Mitch Robinson, of course, a friend of us here at SEN, and he's been a great guest over time as well, Alex Witherden's teammate. Well, he's lashed out on Twitter, Mitch Robinson, at abusive gamblers for making death threats and vile remarks to AFL players. Now, Dwayne, Robinson was saying he and other players were just growing sick and tired of becoming the targets on social media of angry punters who are blaming them for losing bets. Now, the Lions wingman today tweeted, "Public service announcement, not one AFL player gives a beep how we cost you $100 multi. It's a $5 bet, you idiot. If you're struggling with that amount, please don't punt in the first place. Death threats, and I hope you do your ACL the next game. I dare say we won't pay you out either." And hot on the heels of that tweet, Dwayne, West Coast ruck Nick Natanui replied with, "Ha ha, every damn week." So clearly the players are growing tired of it. Clearly the abuse directed at Callum Ward, regardless of what transpired on the field in that game with GWS at the weekend, was absolutely horrendous. And people have got a no to pull their heads in, I would have thought, Dwayne.
Yeah, it's an interesting world. I mean, that's the beauty of being in talkback as opposed to Twitter. There's a sense of accountability with talkback, and there's not that accountability with Twitter, which is, you know, why I think it's a dangerous world as a player if you use social media, and it's not for everybody. And some should get off it, but you know, if you like it, you don't want to get off it, and you certainly don't have to put up with the pickles. You can call them out. So. Good on the guys that in recent years have been calling him out. Anything else floating around? Any AFL comment on the holding the ball decisions from yesterday?
Yeah, I think it must be said, Dwayne, the AFL's been really good this year, haven't they, when it comes to putting their hand up over a couple of highly publicised decisions and admitting errors off the back of those. And I think people like that transparency. But having said that, I don't think we'll be getting, at least at this stage, anything from the league over the Sam Petrevsky seat and holding the ball decision in that West Coast Carlton game yesterday. Of course, the Blues defender controversially pinged for not making a genuine attempt to dispose of the ball, even though he's immediately wrapped up by Jack Darling. Now, the AFL's reluctance to clarify publicly, Dwayne, shouldn't be seen as if they believe it was the correct decision. I think everyone acknowledges it definitely wasn't. But there's a real balancing act for the league when it comes to, I guess, where it draws the line in clarifying decisions, because there will be mistakes, and there have certainly been mistakes around the new interpretation around holding the ball, principally the stricter clarification of genuine attempts. So in the majority, I think it's kept the ball alive and moving and been pretty good for the game, but the rule's been let down by probably one or two outlying howlers a week being highlighted. Now, Carlton coach David Teague conceded his players were seeking clarity around holding the ball. Former AFL umpire Matt Head yesterday tweeted that he would like the AFL to come out and say if holding the ball has been adjudicated well and show maybe 5 to 10 examples as a blueprint so everyone can understand what it's trying to achieve. But the league is of a mind where people know what holding the ball is, and they're reluctant at this stage to point out every error in what has otherwise been something that's benefited the game. And the umpires are like players too in terms of preparation being affected. And keep in mind, this is obviously a mid-season tweak as well.
Yeah, we might send the AFL umpiring department and the AFL, the Alex Witherden interview, and see what they make of that, because it seemed to clarify it for most people, the way that the players are thinking. He was pretty articulate and considered about it all. Essendon's situation injury-wise, we know that the injury count is going to be huge for a number of teams in the next few weeks. How's Essendon going?
Yeah, not great, is it, Dwayne? In fact, I note you kicked 51 goals in 50 games at VFL level for the Cats when you came across. So a goal a game would be gleefully received at Essendon at the moment because they are staring down a forward line abyss for the Suns game on Wednesday. I'm not sure if we got a pair of old Adidas Mondiales kicking around, Dwayne, but John Worsfold this morning, he ruled Jacob Townsend out with concussion. So there's already no Joe Danaher, Horatio Fantasia, even though Horatio could return for the St Kilda game on Sunday. Jake Stringer is out, we know that, and Jaden Laverty as well. So that leaves Anthony McDonald, Tipper Woody, who's pretty horribly out of form, it must be said. But Worsfold saying today that Tipper was simply a victim of the injury crisis among his forwards, but they need reinforcements there quickly, don't they?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many kicks they'd get in the current game, but I'll tell you what, the boots they wear these days, as opposed to those illegal ones, they're a beautiful boot, but they don't get made by the kangaroo, with the kangaroo hide like they used to be made in the old days.
Maybe politically don't make them like correct. They used to.
Politically incorrect, probably now. Adelaide, before I let you go, any news, selection news against Collingwood coming up? They have to name their team tonight as well, Collingwood.
No, they do. Daniel Taulia is sore. He's going to sit out the Crows game against Collingwood tomorrow night, as you say. Dwayne, Chase Jones will also miss, but they'll get Brody Smith and Kyle Harding in back. And Matty Nix says there'll be more changes as well. I don't think we'll get to nine again, though, but there will be more changes than what he has already publicised. And, gee, Dwayne, I'll leave you with this. We're 12 days into this 20 days of daily football, and the big teams are really coming to the fore, aren't they? I don't know what you think, but I look at GWS in 7th and Collingwood in 8th, probably appear to be the only top 8 sides at the moment that are a bit vulnerable. And I look at next weekend, or this weekend coming, this is the game I'm most looking forward to. Collingwood playing Melbourne on Saturday at the Gabba. Now, Melbourne 9th, knocking on the door after a couple of handy wins. We'll get to see where they're at and how vulnerable are Collingwood, assuming, of course, that the Pies get over the Crows first.
We're going to know who should be in the finals this year come 17 rounds done, aren't we? We don't need 22. Is this going to be a startling reminder to us all that we have never really needed 22?
Well, the top eight's generally set around this point of the season every year, isn't it? I think we get to about this stage of it when it's 22 rounds and think, okay, maybe one will drop out. I think there's a stat, isn't it, that after a certain round quite deep into the season that only a couple will change. So, or quite early into the season, only a couple will change. So it gets set more often than a lot of people realise, even though if there is a shuffling of the order within that top eight. I think it's just about set now, but you could probably argue a case for Melbourne, particularly, obviously, if they get over the Pies on the weekend.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. If Geelong lose tonight, their spot's vulnerable. And the Giants, you know, their spot's still vulnerable. And Collingwood's sitting in eighth. But just whether the teams below them have got the capacity to push up and get enough wins. Gold Coast Suns, Carlton. I think we're going to know in a few weeks' time. So maybe it's going to be cool that we've got 17 only this year as opposed to having 22, as I mentioned earlier. Otherwise, Adelaide, if we had 22 rounds left, Adelaide would still have 12 games left to play, knowing that they can't make the finals. Great to have you on, Sam. Always good to be able to have a chat to you. So we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Good on you, Dwayne.
Sam Edmund, SEN Chief Reporter, joining us. Lyndon, you wanted to talk the fixture. Welcome to you, Lyndon.
G'day, Dwayne. Thanks for having me, mate. What are your thoughts on next season having a floating fixture like this season was? So let's say every 4 weeks the fixture comes out. You know what I mean? So you get the best games of the weekend on the Thursday and Friday night instead of, say, a Saturday afternoon. You've got the best game of the weekend, and on Friday night you have a dud match. What are your thoughts on that?
Maybe a bit further ahead, maybe 8 weeks ahead, perhaps. But the situation that we're going to have is what's travel going to be like in this country in 2021. So if the reasoning to have a fixed fixture is that everybody can book their travel and interstate travel isn't still in vogue because it's not allowed early 2021, then you might as well just have a floating fixture to start next year, Lyndon. But at the same time as saying that, I kind of think that we're going to have to wait and see what Thursday night footy rates like, what Wednesday night footy rates like, whether the spread of games and whether the players end up liking the 5-day break situation. So maybe that's going to allow us to play more games and not less. There's so many variables, Lyndon. It's going to be hard to know what the AFL choose with 2021. So that's the beauty of this year. It's experimenting and giving us an idea of what it's all like. I do like the floating fixture in some ways because we're going to get, you know, I've been lucky enough to get some really good blockbuster games to call with Fox. So that's what ends up getting thrown out in the wash in the future because of the floating fixture, then bring it on. I love the top of the ladder games and got one to broadcast tonight that I can't wait to get into Fox and broadcast between Geelong and St Kilda as well. Thanks for your call. Back to your calls after the break. 1-300-736-736 is the number. More of your calls, more of your texts, 0433 98 11 16. And Terry Wallace, not far from joining us as well for a catch-up.